Matching rules apply for the purposes of computing the charge under Section 731. The benefit is matched with relevant income. Section 731 imposes a charge on the lower of the benefit received and the relevant income. Relevant income of a tax year is any income arising in that year to the overseas trustees. Relevant income is pooled and forms the relevant income pool. Every year, the balance in the relevant income pool is compared to the benefits received. If the relevant income pool exceeds the benefits received, the benefits are charged to tax in the hands of the beneficiary. The balance in the relevant income pool is then carried forward and may be taxed in a later year if subsequent benefits are received. If benefits received exceed the relevant income pool in the tax year, the whole of the relevant income pool is taxed. This reduces the pool to zero. The excess benefit is then carried forward and matched with relevant income of future years. There is no transparency for income tax under Section 731. Where a Section 731 charge arises, the income is treated as non-savings income in the hands of the beneficiary and is taxed at 20%, 40% or 50%. The underlying source of the income is irrelevant. If some of the trust income has already suffered UK tax, the beneficiary can claim credit for tax suffered under the ESC B18 procedure as outlined above. By way of illustration, Mr. Lucas is resident, ordinarily resident, and domiciled in the UK. On the 5th of April 2008, he transferred a cash sum of £306,000 to a discretionary trust for the benefit of his four grandchildren, all of whom are UK resident. The gift was intended to utilise the IHT nil band and annual exemptions. The trustees of the trust are resident in the Bahamas. Mr. Lucas and his wife are excluded from benefit and have no influence over the decisions of the trustees. The trustees are holding the funds on interest-bearing bank deposit in the Cayman Islands. Interest received gross thus far has been as per your screen. On the 5th of April 2011, the trustees distributed £10,000 to each of the four grandchildren. We'll look at how this benefit is matched with trust income. Section 731, ITA 2007, will apply. There was a transfer of assets to a person not resident in the UK, as a result of which income becomes payable to a person abroad. Section 720 will not apply, as the settlor and spouse are excluded from benefit. There is therefore no charge on the income as it arises. Instead, trust income is matched with benefits received. In this case, benefits received in 2010-11 are £10,000 multiplied by 4 equals £40,000. These are matched with the relevant income pool. Income for 2008-09 is £12,800. Income for 2009-10 is £13,500. Income for 2010-11 is £11,200. The balance in the relevant income pool at the end of 2010-11 is therefore £37,500. This is then matched with benefits paid to beneficiaries in 2010-11. The benefits paid are £40,000. This reduces the relevant income in the pool to zero. The matched income is therefore £37,500. Each of the four grandchildren will therefore be treated as entitled to income of £37,500 divided by 4, which is £9,375 in 2010-11. This income will be reported on their self-assessment returns. Benefits exceed relevant income by £2,500. Therefore, the excess benefit of £2,500 is carried forward and matched with relevant income of future years. Income for 2011-12 is £9,800. No benefits are paid in 2011-12. However, the relevant income pool is then matched with excess benefits from previous years. The excess benefit of £2,500 from 2010-11 is therefore matched with the £9,800 of income arising in 2011-12. The beneficiaries will therefore be taxed on the matched income in 2011-12. Therefore, Each of the four grandchildren will be treated as entitled to income of £2,500 divided by four, which is £625 in 2011-12. At the 6th of April 2012, there is a balance in the relevant income pool of £7,300, which will be taxed as and when a beneficiary receives another benefit. Distributions are only caught by Section 731 if the beneficiary is ordinarily resident in the UK in the tax year of the match. Therefore, distributions can be made free of UK tax out of offshore trusts to individuals who are not ordinarily resident in the UK. Where a non-resident trust makes a distribution to a non-ordinarily resident individual out of current year income, the distribution is matched with relevant income and reduces the pool to carry forward. However, the matched income is not taxed, as Section 731 does not impose a charge where the beneficiary is not ordinarily resident. However, this principle does not apply to capital distributions. Therefore, where a non-resident trust makes a capital distribution to a non-ordinarily resident individual, the distribution is not matched with relevant income and does not reduce the pool to carry forward. Again, there is no UK tax charge as the beneficiary is not ordinarily resident. Once current year income has not been paid out, it is accumulated within the trust and becomes part of the trust capital. A later distribution of this accumulated income is therefore a payment of capital and will not reduce the relevant income pool if paid to a non-ordinarily resident beneficiary. Non-resident trustees therefore need to check the residence status of their beneficiaries to determine whether to reduce the relevant income pool. For non-domiciled beneficiaries caught by Section 731, the income treated as arising, that is, the matched income, is treated as relevant foreign income for UK tax purposes. Therefore, if the person receiving the benefit makes a claim under Section 809B to use the remittance basis, or is allowed to use the remittance basis automatically, the Section 731 income is only taxed if the benefit is actually received in the UK. If the beneficiary is not a remittance basis user, the Section 731 income is taxed in the year in which it is matched. Under Section 737, an individual is not liable to tax under the transfer of assets abroad provisions if he can satisfy HMRC that either Condition A or Condition B is satisfied. Condition A is that it would not be reasonable to draw the conclusion from all the circumstances of the case that the purpose of avoiding liability to taxation was the purpose or one of the purposes for which the relevant transactions were effected. The onus here is on the taxpayer to prove that tax avoidance was not one of the purposes he had in mind when entering into the transfer of assets abroad. Tax, in this context, means any direct taxation, not simply income tax. In practice, this motive test can be difficult for a taxpayer to refute. Condition B states that all the relevant transactions were genuine commercial transactions and it would not be reasonable to draw a conclusion that one or more of the transactions was more than incidentally designed for the purpose of avoiding liability to taxation. In essence, this means that the transfer of assets abroad provisions do not usually apply to an arm's length sale to a non-resident person, providing that the purchase price does not manifestly differ from the value of the assets sold. There is no provision for a taxpayer to apply to HMRC for clearance as to whether the anti-avoidance rules apply. There is one example to attempt to complete this session. Section 731, ITA 2007, will apply. There was a transfer of assets to a person not resident in the UK, as a result of which income becomes payable to a person abroad. Section 720 will not apply, as the settlor is excluded from benefit. There is therefore no charge on the income as it arises. Instead, trust income is matched with benefits received. The interest-free loan is a benefit, the value of which is calculated using the HMRC official interest rate of 4.75%. A loan of £120,000 was taken out on the 1st of June 2010, so the benefit for 2010-11 is £120,000, multiplied by 4.75%, multiplied by 10 over 12, giving £4,750. Taking each year in turn, starting with 2008-09, relevant income for the year is £32,000. Benefits received in the year are £10,000 for each of the three beneficiaries, being £30,000. The £30,000 is matched with relevant income, so each beneficiary has a matched benefit of £10,000. The relevant income pool carried forward is £2,000. Moving on to 2009-10, the relevant income pool brought forward is £2,000. Relevant income for the year is £25,000, giving a balance in the pool of £27,000. Benefits received in the year are again £30,000. This is matched with relevant income. This time the benefits exceed the relevant income pool by £3,000. This is an excess benefit, which will then be carried forward to 2010-11. The relevant income pool is reduced to zero. Matched benefits are therefore £27,000, so each beneficiary is taxed on £27,000 divided by 3, which is £9,000. Next to 2010-11. The relevant income for the year is £36,000. Benefits received in the year are £30,000, plus the benefit in respect of the loan to Alex, which for 2010-11 is £4,750. We also add the excess benefits of £3,000 brought forward from 2009-10, which is £3,000. Therefore, total benefits are £37,750, which is matched with the relevant income pool of £36,000. Benefits exceed the relevant income pool by £1,750. This excess benefit will be carried forward to 2011-12. The relevant income pool is reduced to zero. Matched benefits are therefore £36,000. These are apportioned between the beneficiaries in proportion to the benefits they receive. We need to work out how much of the matched £36,000 is attributed to Alex. Each beneficiary has an unmatched benefit of £1,000 brought forward from 2009-10. In 2010-11, Alex has a benefit of £14,750, while the other two beneficiaries have benefits of £10,000 each. We add these to the excess benefits brought forward. Matched benefits are £36,000. Therefore, the benefit apportioned to Alex in 2010-11 is £36,000 over £37,750 multiplied by £15,750, which is £15,020. We do the same computation for the other two beneficiaries. Unmatched benefits carried forward are therefore £1,750. The amount chargeable to income tax for Alex in 2010-11 is therefore £15,020. That concludes this lecture on income tax issues concerning overseas trusts. We'll examine CGT and IHT issues of overseas trusts in the next lecture.